This is Retire Ready, where we break down retirement planning and make it easy to understand so you can live your golden years to the fullest. If you're tired of feeling overwhelmed by retirement planning or unsure about where to start, you've come to the right place. Planning your retirement starts now with your host, Kyle Hammerschmidt, founder of Mocan Wealth, and co-host, Colin Hayes.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Retire Ready podcast. I'm here with Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Glad to get the podcast up and running again. Just a little bit different format, changing it up, trying to jam-pack as much value as we can. Our goal is to kind of get these podcasts out on a weekly basis, just kind of with a lot of information and education on what pre-retirees are, you know, out there Googling or trying to, you know, get some help on advice on some situations. So personal life, we've been busy. These are, you know, March and April. We got my three-year-old. He just had his birthday party last week. And then my daughter Jovi turns 5 tomorrow. So we got, you know, busy outside the office, busy in the office, but it's all good. I can't complain.
Yeah. It's busy time as the summer months come up. But when it comes to providing value for our listeners, you know, when pre-retirees are looking, you know, on social media or the internet, something that they might be doing very soon or already have is hiring a financial advisor. And what we want to talk about today in this episode are 6 mistakes, the biggest mistakes that we see people can make when hiring a financial advisor, and how you can avoid those mistakes.
Yeah, so there could be a laundry list of 25, but I think we're going to sum up like maybe our top 6 or the 6 biggest mistakes that I kind of see people making when they're making that decision to partner with somebody. I always tell people, like, the first thing you need to understand before you do any of this is you have to have a clear understanding that not all financial advisors and planning advisors are created equal. If you can understand that, you're going to make really good decisions. That first mistake is really that advisor or investment manager, whatever you kind of want to call them, they ignore your biggest problem. You know, your biggest problem is probably not the stock market, inflation, or even health insurance. It's the IRS. It's literally what are we going to do here to minimize the IRS tax bill over your lifetime? You have to understand you have a minority shareholder on your accounts. And so as time goes by, what's the process of getting like the best way of getting the return on your money and the return of your money? So some of the questions you need to ask yourself is like mistake number one is, have you developed a strategy to lower or eliminate taxes on your future 401k IRA withdrawals? Like, is that planning process in place now for the future? Do you have strategies in place to protect your Social Security benefits from being taxed? Social Security by itself is not taxable. It's about how you take it. What other sources of income are you going to have coming in retirement that could potentially make your Social Security more taxable and giving more of that back? You know, does your advisor call you with tax training, tax strategy ideas in good and bad markets? Like, what's the philosophy there? Did they collect your tax return the first time they met you to kind of make sure everything's in place versus just saying, hey, you're a moderate investor, let's throw you in this model here? Does your current plan have a tax-focused approach, or are you kind of just being a tax filer? Have you tested scenarios to improve your after-tax income? And lastly is like, has your advisor the last 4, 5, 6 years explained to you how to take advantage of that new tax law? I think, you know, taxes are one of the biggest picture in your retirement plan, but they're often ignored by the pre-retirees, but also like their asset gatherer and their investment managers ignoring it because they don't get paid on it.
Yeah. And you know, flowing into the second mistake here, taxes is, you know, definitely one part, but also in retirement is investing and maybe not having a plan for investing. So mistake number two would be, you know, not having that investing plan or not even planning for investing in retirement. So what advice do you have there for listeners that might fall into mistake number two?
Yeah, so mistake number two is really you have no plan for investing in or near retirement. Pretty common. Most people will have these target date funds within their retirement accounts. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad way of going about it, but the idea is, do you want to be shoved into like a one size fits all approach, a cookie cutter model? I always tell people cookie cutter is just, it's good for cookies, nothing else, not your retirement plan. Do you have a strategic plan for generating income before and after retirement? Some plans, it's best to start generating income before, and that income can be stashed in like a cash or a money market account within your retirement accounts. So you can build up a nice little cash reserve, inside your portfolios. Maybe it's 1 or 2 years worth of cash in your portfolio. So that way, if there's a bear market right when you retire, your plan might shift to like live off that cash for a while. So your shares of your stocks or your bonds or whatever you own can kind of recover. And really, it's just kind of avoiding those cookie cutter models or those portfolios that a lot of people I come across have at these big, large wirehouses. Great companies, great advisors, you know, the Fidelities, the Morgan Stanleys, the Fishers, the Edward Jones, I can go on. They're great companies. They're great people that work there. At the end of the day, more than likely, you're getting put in some type of model or a cookie cutter model based upon your risk profile. At the end of the day, you want to invest your money in retirement before and after based upon what your plan says it needs to do as far as like a growth rate and risk. So again, strategy, get an investment strategy that focuses on income and cash flow and avoids like selective stock picking, market timing, and chasing returns.
Yeah, moving on to mistake number three here. If you're looking at retirement, of course, ideally you would look for a financial advisor that maybe is retirement focused. But also another mistake that could happen is looking for a fee-based advisor when you might really be looking for a fee-only advisor. So Kyle, can you give us a little bit of clarity on both of those points there?
Yeah, so let's just kind of clarify this. There's the F word's been floating around there for years, the fiduciary law, the ruling. I don't think people really understand like what that word means, and the definition's kind of like it's not black and white. There's some gray area. So, I always talk to people. We do like a lot of retirement education courses at some local colleges here at K-State Olathe and then KU Overland Park. And I always tell people, you know, I've heard this a lot, like paying someone to manage my investments isn't worth it. And I usually say, I agree. If your advisor or your group or your firm or your broker or whatever you call them talks with you once or twice a year, doesn't return your phone calls, only talks pie charts and no planning, doesn't look at your 401k because they can't get paid, sells expensive investments and insurance products, I would tell that individual or that household, that's a transaction with the cost. Okay. Yes, your portfolio will probably go long-term, but that's a transaction with a very heavy cost. I would also tell that same person, if your advisor can't earn commissions, provides fully customized planning strategies for you upfront, collects your tax returns, proactively schedules meetings with you, provides you ongoing education and consistent communication, helps you with all things, including taxes, that's a relationship with value over 10, 20, 30 years. And that's something people have to understand when you're looking at this. So there's fee only versus fee based. Like hiring just any financial advisor to guide your retirement planning is like picking a podiatrist to perform cataract surgery. In the medical industry, there's experts or specialists in their field. So we have to figure out, you know, do we want to work with someone for the next 30 years that's like, okay, going up the mountain is accumulating, but now we got to get down the mountain. We don't really have time to, you know, make any mistakes. So we have to understand fee only is really your work. The client and the fiduciary or the advisor are working together. Like I give you advice, and the client pays me an ongoing fee. There's no hidden agenda. There's no, hey, we just use these mutual funds and we only do this. If I went into Toyota and asked the Toyota salesperson, should I go get a Honda? They're still going to recommend a Toyota. It doesn't mean a Toyota is a bad option. We just have to understand like, what can we do and what can we not do? So fee only is you're filling out some type of fee agreement that says, here's what we're paying. It's transparent. It's ongoing. And there's no hidden agenda or hidden costs there. Fee-based, it could be there's fees, there's advice, there's usually a broker involved, there could be commissions, mutual funds, insurance, annuities, all different types of stuff. Not saying one's better than the other. You just have to have a good understanding of the cost. And they're like, is there hidden disclosures? Is there hidden fees? Is there a reason why I'm showing certain funds? So fee-only, fee-based, it's kind of like a war going on out there. But you as the investor, you're paying for somebody. So the question is, do you want to pay full price? For full service, or is there something hidden behind the scenes?
Yeah. And moving on to mistake number four, I'll kind of paint a quick picture. You walk into, a first visit with a financial advisor, and the first thing they say to you is, how many assets do you have? How much in assets do you have? Or let's talk about investments. Why is that a mistake? Or why is that a red flag?
One of the things to look out for is if the advisor leads with investment talks and talks about performance and how our portfolios will perform better than yours. Like no one can guarantee performance. You know, there are a lot of people that retire and they're cutting it super close with like margin of how much they saved and how much they need. And they're really relying on like stock market performance early and over retirement for like their plan to work. Like if there's a sequence of like they retired at the wrong time, there's a bear market, they're going to be, you know, in trouble. You going back to work or you can live off less income. So what you need to watch out for is like, do the planning first, invest last. We call it a WAG, what like a wild ass guess. Don't just like randomly pick stuff or your advisor throws you in some funds and says you're moderate, you're going to average 7%, you're pull out 4 to 5%. You're going to retire with $1 million and we're going to run this Monte Carlo analysis and look, hey, when in 30 years, you're going to have $3 million. The advisor asks for all of your information and statements prior to your first meeting. Watch out for that. He or she starts the meeting off with investment recommendations only. We're really without learning everything about you, looking at tax returns and social security statements and cash flows and incomes. The advisor shows off performance of certain investment options right away without even supporting a comprehensive retirement plan. So I always tell people this, your investment plan is a complementary piece to your retirement plan. It is a process. Much like a doctor, a financial advisor needs to diagnose your issues before they start like prescribing strategies. If a financial advisor like starts prescribing investment recommendations without asking enough questions to fully understand your situation, I would tell you, you should run, not walk to the nearest exit. This needs to be a custom experience, a fee-only advisor. And I always tell, I'll tell people on the podcast, I give a poop what rather if you work with me or not. I'm making sure I'm very passionate that if someone's wanting to work with somebody, they're paying full price for full service. So like I said, fee only advisors adhere to that fiduciary standard and they don't typically lead with investments. They're going to lead with retirement planning and then invest your money after the plan's built.
Yeah. So let's say, Kyle, I'm driving down the street in my town and I see like a Edward Jones building, Northwestern Mutual, these big financial firms that, you know, have huge name recognition. Why going with that firm could be a mistake?
Yeah, so I think it kind of goes back to, you know, if anybody, you know, in college, they talk about marketing 101. So let's understand marketing first. I think everybody shops for groceries still these days, even though there's like DoorDash and Instacart, especially with young kids, it's kind of nice when they just drop it off at your door. But if you go down, let's just say you go to Hy-Vee, Price Chopper, wherever you shop, wherever, Whole Foods, you're going to go down this little ketchup aisle. And every single time, if you go down the ketchup aisle and look eye level, what brand of ketchup is going to be there? What is it going to be? Heinz. Yeah. Okay. Does it mean it's the best? I mean, maybe you think it is, but at the end of the day, it's eye level because they know it's marketing. They're paying to be on that shelf at that eye level because you're going to see it and let's assume it's better. It's the financial industry is kind of the same way is we're seeing these big, large wirehouses out there. I've already picked on them a little bit, you know, American Century, JP Morgan, Fidelity, Schwab, they have retail stores all over. So you're driving around and you're seeing these big stores, retail stores, they got offices everywhere, hundreds of thousands of clients, billions of dollars of assets under management. Hey, I've had my Fidelity 401k for 30 years, good company, might as well keep it there. Not saying that's not a good decision. You have to understand is choosing a financial firm based upon name recognition or size of their assets. Does that mean bigger is better? That's the question. I always tell somebody, if you're going to go that route, you're kind of making the decision. You're okay with just being another number. More than likely, you're going to get one call or two calls a year. Sit down and look at your pie charts. If you're at Fidelity, you're going to have a bunch of Fidelity funds. If you're at Schwab, you're going to have a bunch of Schwab funds. If you're at American Century, you're going to have a bunch of American Century funds. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to ask yourself, does bigger mean better? And from my experience, the larger the firm is, the more name recognition there is, the least amount of services they can actually offer from a compliance perspective. So the size of the financial firm might, you know, sway you one way or the other, but the national branded and large wirehouses, they may be restrained from giving advice outside of their own investment platforms.
Yeah. And the final point here, speaking of big, you know, firms and financial firms based on name recognition, there's something called RIAs, which are registered independent advisors, which are just firms that aren't connected to these big names, right? And they have the ability to kind of have some flexibility here and there. So mistake number six is potentially for someone to, when they're hiring a financial advisor, is to not consider MOCAN wealth management. Why would that be the case?
Yeah, let's even take a step back. Like, I would say it's a mistake to not just consider an independent firm. Like, here's what you should look for. You would want them to be fiduciary. You would want them to be tax focused. You would want them to be fee only. You're signing typically upfront that there's going to be a plan built, some type of financial retirement plan. There'd be a one-time fee for that. Again, if there's an advisor or firms out there doing a bunch of free work out there, power to you. I would say that's probably not a good job, very well-run business. But at the end of the day, I would never give advice and planning away for free because it's just way too valuable. So a lot of firms out there will give you a one-time planning fee to build your retirement plan. I would make sure that plan is comprehensive. There's taxes, there's healthcare talk. It's literally talking about your entire picture, not just your investments. Taxes, income, healthcare, estate, investments, cash flow, everything under the umbrella, even if you have adult children. Legacy planning, that's a big one of like, hey, not very many of my clients after we educate them or just people out there that I talk to is like, hey, you can leave a big pot of money behind for some your kids when you pass away, or you can build a plan that allows you to withdraw more of your money to spend it with them. And I think a lot of people like the idea of it, but they don't know how to execute that. I would highly suggest that that plan is super custom to you. It's just not like, hey, we're going to do a free plan for you. Give us all your stuff. We're going to plug it into a retirement planning software like Right Capital. It's going to spit out some numbers and you've got 85% probability. Again, that's not really advice driven. And another thing that you have to think about is like number six would be, do you want like a boutique feel where it's like a smaller boutique firm where you're not just another number? Or do you want to work with like a larger firm where hundreds of advisors, maybe thousands of clients, maybe $1 billion under management. And again, why MOCAN Wealth is different is like, that's what we do. Like we adhere to those standards. But you also have to understand all these mistakes we talked about. Every mistake on this list is avoidable, but that's kind of up to you and the decisions you make. So again, if you're looking for tax efficient retirement planning and investment management for pre-retirees, that's what MOCAN Wealth does. We have a specific process we've built that out for to walk people through. And if you really want more information and education and you think you can come do this on your own or you just want to learn about it, I would highly suggest coming to one of our Retire Ready Academy workshops that we have throughout the year at K-State Olathe or KU Overland Park. But again, going back to what I said at the beginning, have a good understanding. Do you understand not all financials or advisors are created equal? If you can understand that, you'll start making really good decisions.
Yeah, and if you're curious about those workshops or you know any more information about what we talked about today, all that stuff will be linked down in the podcast show notes below on whatever platform you're listening to right now. So you can click on there and find some more information. But those are some mistakes that we see people make when choosing a financial advisor and how you can potentially avoid those mistakes.
Yep. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And we'll be back next week with more information.
You've been listening to Retire Ready with Kyle Hammerschmidt. Planning your retirement starts now. The word retirement shouldn't scare you. Our passion is to be here to help you navigate every step of the way. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, for more education and information, hit up RetireReadyAcademy.org. And if you're ready to start your retirement planning today, go to our website at MOCANWealth.com. MOCAN Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor with the state of Kansas and Missouri and may only transact business with residents of those states or residents of other states where otherwise legally permitted, subject to exemption or exclusion from registration requirements. This communication is not intended as an offer or solicitation to buy, hold, or sell any financial instrument or investment advisory services.